This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Okay, now I think you had some hard competition here because at the first service, they joined me and they knew it. I'm hoping people in here know it. I come to the garden alone, while the dew
is still on the roses,
and the voice
I hear from the tongue I hear, the voice of God is roses.
My favorite part. The unexpected. Mary Magdalene shows us how to survive trauma and tragedy, and hear the voice of God calling us to communion. In the gospel, we meet Mary Magdalene in the garden. Isn't that interesting? We're in a garden. But instead of the male and female of Adam and Eve betraying God, you know, I think free will is sometimes not that great of a thing, but we have it, don't we? And we make lots of mistakes. But instead, in this garden, we have Mary, Magdalene, and Jesus obeying God even through crucifixion and resurrection. The recreation of humanity in a garden is revisited with the resurrection of the divine who transforms human experience and overcomes death. Love is stronger than death. Say it with me.
Love is stronger than death.
And love is eternal. Absolutely. Imagine traveling through the streets of the city of Jerusalem to the outside gates in the early morning hours filled with dark and empty streets. The only people out in the town are the occupiers, the Romans who had killed her love. The only emotion that can overcome her horrific fear, her terrifying fear, is her love for Jesus. Possibly, I believe she was suffering from post-traumatic stress. Mary had witnessed the horrifying crucifixion of her Lord. The violence, the cruel and bloody ending of such a gentle and kind man must have left her bereft, overwhelmed with emotion. The man she has followed and for whom she has given everything up, her life, her family, her friends, everything she loved to follow him. He was her life. Not sleeping much after the horror on Friday, Mary, as a devout Jew, observed the Sabbath Saturday and had to wait for the first day of the week before preparing his body. The little sense of sanity she has leads her to prepare her oils and bandages to have a final intimate moment by washing his wounds and tenderly anointing his body for burial. Mary commits herself to going to the tomb as soon as possible. She anointed him lovingly days before. She had poured expensive nard all over his feet and dried his feet with her hair. She's relentless in her devotion, in her worship, and she recognizes the need to be near his body. It's a practice in today's even Orthodox Judaism that no one touches the body except for family. You don't have strangers touch the body. The only ones that are allowed to are the ones closest to the person who passed. But she finds the tomb empty. Her shock is palpable. She's confused with grief and thinks somebody's taken her away. She doesn't immediately recognize him. And at first glance, here we have a little biblical humor, she thinks it's the gardener. She thinks Jesus is the gardener. The irony is very thick, but I also think it's really important for us to realize how often the divine is in the ordinary. At the encounter, when she meets him outside of the tomb after his death, she's emotionally distraught. Moreover, she's frightened that this is the person who stole the body. But she physically turns around 180 degrees. Now remember, not 360, because if you turn around 360, have you really changed?
No.
Louder?
No.
Of course not. But if you change 180 degrees, you have changed. You have changed. And she's changed, and she's looking in a totally different direction. The word is metanoia in Greek. That you change and you see something totally different. It's a metaphor for transformation. She has changed forever. She will never be the same. And you won't be either once you've come to this service. Everybody in here, you're going to be different when you leave here. You're different in every time you encounter life in a different way. So when you change your position and your point of view, you can see Jesus in a different way. But then he says her name, Mary, and she understands it's his voice. And so she recognizes that he knows who she is. In spite of any issues she has, any wounds, any sins, he loves her. You see, Jesus loves us unconditionally. He loves us for who we are, that unique being that we are. And she gets that. So here it is. We are witnessing a new creation in the world through this death and resurrection. We realize that the death has scared his apostles. They've been scared. They've been scattered. They've been frightened. They don't know what to do. And if anybody in here agrees with me, I think transitions, which is a nice thing to say, horrific things that happen in our life, I think that they change us. What do you think?
Yes.
And so God is there when we are changed. He is transformed too in his resurrection. And so is Mary Magdalene. We all are transformed by our religion, by our relationships. This is the post-resurrection Jesus, and you are different. Lovingly, Jesus accepts Mary for who she is, and also they have a changed relationship. She goes through the process that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about. She has anger, running to get Peter and the beloved disciple, denial, mistaking the gardener, bargaining, please tell me where you've taken him. She has depression, she's weeping inconsolably, and acceptance, I have seen the Lord, and a new creation. She is a new person. She's had anxiety and shock, but now she's coming out of it. She's going to continually look for Christ. She's not deterred. She's tenacious. She's perseverant. This is what we need to be. Don't give up on Jesus because Jesus has not given up on you. Make sure you continue to search for him through your trials and tribulations. He hasn't promised us that there's not going to be suffering in this life, but what he has promised us is that he will be with us. He will be with us. I believe God presents each and every person that comes into our life as a way to show the divine relationship. Every single person, every unique person reveals the way of God in a different way. Do you agree?
Yes.
Look around. You can see the picture of God with all of God's people in here. We are a reflection in the image of God. Go back to the book of Genesis. God made them in God's image, male and female, God made them. That's right from the book of Genesis. So you are a vision of God. We're not God, but we are a piece. We have a part of God in us. So this really encounter teaches me what I often say to you all, and so many of you join me when I pray it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is really important, especially during times of crisis. We're supposed to turn our life over to Christ and not think about the consequences. It's the act of giving self. You have to be willing to give up of yourself. And it's scary because it's a faith that defies all logic. Through the witness of Mary Magdalene, we see the blessed sacraments. We are transformed in life in God, and we are called to search for Jesus and listen for when Jesus calls our name like he called her name. This is a new creation. To me, no story in the Bible represents such an intimate relationship between God and humanity as this one. God loves us so deeply, especially in our suffering. God is there. We have no idea what we're going to be presented with moment to moment. I didn't know I was going to be at St. Joseph's. I didn't. I had no idea. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm here with you all. And I want to thank you all. You've been wonderful. And you have been the face of God. You have been that relationship for me.
And we love you. We love you. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. And even, you know what? I thought I would never sing again. And you know why I'm chanting? Because of that man upstairs, David. So, you know, that's about relationship. I said, do you think I can do this, David? And you know what he said to me? You've already done it. So that's the kind of confidence that we have. So no matter where we go, Jesus has been there before, and he is willing to go with us again. So let us finish this sermon with An Easter Dawn by Malcolm Gwee. Jesus blesses every love which weeps and grieves, and now he blesses hers who stood and wept and would not be consoled or leave her love's last touching place, but watched as low light crept up from the east. A sound behind her stirs, a scatter of bright bird songs through the air. She turns, but cannot focus through her tears or recognize the gardener standing there. She hardly hears his gentle question, "Why? Why are you weeping?" Or sees the play of light that brightens as she chokes out her reply, "They took my love away, my day is night." And then she hears her name. She hears love say, the word that turns her night and ours today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.